This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The 1-2 swung on and popped up into short right field. On comes Springer. Out goes Guerrero. Guerrero in foul ground. Makes the catch and the game is over. The Boo Birds are out here at Globe Life Field. The Blue Jays have won it by the score of 2-0.
We welcome you to Groundhog's Day here with the Thursday edition of Sean and RJ on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. I'm Sean Treif alongside RJ Choppy and Cowboys insider Bobby Bell. We got Peyton and Aiden in the back live on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube.
I feel like that furry little varmint saw a shadow this year, but we didn't get six more weeks of winter. It got like 88 degrees by about the second week of February.
Maybe it was six more weeks of the dead ball era is what we were supposed to get.
It was.
I mean, look, I understand. Like, maybe you don't care what we have to say or anything else. Like, don't you feel a little bad if you're a player in the Rangers lineup and you hear what you're doing to Eric Nadel? Dear God. Like, Eric is just like, there's a pop-up. Jeez. Yep, man, this is over. Like, I mean, he is hating watching this, it sounds like.
We all are.
Yeah.
The Toronto Blue Jays go ahead and win 2 of 3 from the Rangers while scoring 4 runs total. Every day there's a new unbelievable stat. Bobby's just tweeting them out left and right at his Twitter account. 4 runs scored in the series, and they win 2 of 3, 2-0 yesterday, wasting another Rangers pitcher outing.
3 runs scored in the series.
Makes
it even worse.
3 for...
the Rangers.
Yeah, we're saying 4 runs for the Blue Jays in the series, and they still
won. Oh, 4 runs for the Blue Jays. Yeah. Okay, I thought you said 4 runs for the Rangers. Yeah, this is bad. What's going on right now is bad. And it's to the point where it's like, if you're hitting balls hard, if you're just swinging and missing, I mean, they're just hitting lazy fly balls.
Yeah, where are we on exit velo? Like, are they getting robbed? Like, the beginning of the year, first three weeks, where, like, Adolis Garcia's getting unlucky and exit velo is working against them. It'll all even out.
Couple guys, Adolis is the one who he's always hitting the ball hard. The biggest problem with Adolis is his chase rate has gotten a lot worse.
He's not hitting it hard enough.
I guess not, but I mean, average exit velocity, he's still 91st percentile in baseball. So, I mean, he is hitting the ball hard. It's just his chase rate, he's in the 4th percentile in Major League Baseball.
There were 4 shutouts in Major League Baseball last night. There were 7 teams that scored 1 or fewer runs across the sport last night. There's a problem. It's not unique to the Rangers. We're focusing on them because it's what we pay attention to, but there's a problem around the sport that's not just unique to this team, where it's almost all or nothing. And now for the Rangers, it's been nothing and nothing and nothing and then all and then 4 straight games of nothing again. But that's what it's become. And there's whatever they've got to do to figure this out. I don't know, that maybe the pitchers are just too good. Maybe that's what it is. But what you see at the plate, you see, I don't want to say there's no plan. But, you know, when you've got Adolis out there in a scoreless game in the 7th inning with a man on and a 3-0 count, and he takes one right down the you-know-what, okay, fine, right? You're not going to swing 3-0. You don't want to swing 3-0, even though 3-0 has the best batting average in the sport as a hitter. No count yields a better batting average than 3-0 by a wide margin. That's fine. You don't want to swing 3-0. You know, I'm not going to fight you on that one. But then on 3-1... you swing at a slider that is so far off the plate, and on 3-2, you swing at another one that is so far off the plate, farther off the plate than any of the balls in that count. Now we're into something different.
You know what I miss?
Hits.
Yeah, but specifically.
They had one hit last night.
Cheers for the crowd.
The jet stream. I miss the jet stream bouncing off and shooting the ball out into right field. That's what I miss because, the other thing here is just, they don't hit well specifically in this ballpark either. Like this year, it's bad. Like when you look at them, they're the way they've performed at home, they're one of the worst teams in baseball at the plate, period. But if you look at their splits at home compared to the other teams that are some of the worst in baseball, their home splits are at least a lot better. Like, they're hitting the ball better when they're at home. Texas isn't. Texas is having a lot of these things happen at the Globe. Other than the Rockies, which we'll discount because the Rockies are awful. When was the last time the Rangers scored a run in the first inning at home?
Other than the Rockies?
Yeah.
Because
the Rockies, I mean, they did that too.
I wouldn't even know where to start. Boston?
No, that would be April 17th. That was the last time that happened. That was basically 6 weeks ago.
Look, I mean, I don't long for the days when this was a team and I was out there for all the, you know, getting post-game sound every game. I don't long for the 15 to 13 games.
Yeah.
Okay. Could we get a medium here? Could we get a happy middle?
Sandler asked this on the post-game the other day. Is that, would you rather have those old-school Ranger teams where you're losing while scoring eight runs, or these 1-0, 2-0 games?
And they're equally maddening in a much, much different way. I guess I would take this.
Because
the games are 2 hours or 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
As opposed to the 4-hour marathons.
I would at least enjoy watching them play. Like that's the problem, is that I would at least enjoy watching them play if they were scoring. Like, as bad as the Rangers were in the early 2000s at times, or, you know, even you get into one of the most fun seasons the Texas Rangers have ever had was 04? One of the years, 08. And they couldn't pitch. They were under 500. They couldn't pitch. But you know what they did have? They had Ian Kinsler hitting .319 that year. They had Josh Hamilton breaking out with a 900 OPS. Milton Bradley was almost at 1,000 OPS. Yeah, it sucked that they didn't make the playoffs. It sucked they couldn't pitch. You could at least watch every single one of their games and go, this is entertaining.
One hit. Toronto had eight of them. Josh Smith, the lone individual on the board. He also had two walks last night. Does it feel like they're 27-30 or worse?
Oh, it feels way worse. The fact that they're 27-30. And even they could even sniff the postseason is pretty remarkable. Like, that's pretty remarkable to me. But one hit is it's feeble. It's just feeble.
They have the second worst batting average in the sport at .219. They've scored the third fewest amount of runs, not in the American League, in the entire sport. They're 4.5 games back in the American League West with Seattle on top, and the armpit is a half game back. So Jared Sandler saying, deal with it, Houston. You ain't winning another division championship. There they are, just a half game back. They're 7-3 in their last 10. The Rangers are 2-8 with a much needed day off today.
So, and like, they're 4 back in the wild card, just 3 in the loss column. 5 in the loss column for third final spot. But there's only 3 teams ahead of them. Like, it's not like there's like 10 teams ahead of them. The fact that they're even within striking distance, and this is going to cause them to probably be buyers at the deadline. They're close and they've got the staff. So this is probably going to cause them to be buyers. And I don't know what they're going to wind up finding, because nothing's out there right now at the moment. Now, that might change in 2 months, but we are we're in a spot where they can absolutely make the case that they're in this.
The Western Conference Finals. I said after the first two games, this thing is a sweep or a gentleman's sweep. They're done.
Not a single day went by this season that Oklahoma City did not hold the best record in the West. And now this historic, relentless thunderstorm has unstoppably, emphatically, and officially earned the moniker Best in the West. MVP, SGA, and company say, we will OKC you in the NBA Finals, baby.
A thunderstorm.
OKC you in the finals.
124-94, they destroy the Timberwolves. This thing is over in 5, and they become the second youngest team. This may not end anytime soon with the new Jerry West, and that's what he is, Sam Presti, as the general manager running that out there. They're the second youngest team to advance to the finals, trailing only the Portland Trail Blazers and 76-77. They got an average age of 25.5 years old, and we have a finals participant.
And what did we say last year when Dallas was going up against Oklahoma City? Like, Oklahoma City was really, really talented, and we're like, that's a scary team for the next few years. They're like, but you feel good about Dallas because Oklahoma City hasn't learned how to lose yet. And you wondered, like, was last year Oklahoma's introduction to understanding this is how you lose and this is how you handle it and this is how you come back? And it looks like it. And the other takeaway I have from this is, holy cow, it's a miracle that Jokic by himself pushed a team like that that looks clearly so good to seven games. But, like, that's the thing that's nuts to me.
And they probably only lost that because they were dead tired. Gassed. Like, they got gassed at the end of those series.
Conditioning. Nico talks about it all the time.
Yeah, there you go. Conditioning. But, I mean, the Thunder were the best team all year in the West, and that was the finals, at least the West finals, was that series against Denver. It's obvious to that.
What do we do with Anthony Edwards now?
The Cant Man.
The Cant?
The Cant.
Pretty good.
The Cant Man.
No one's going to work harder than me in the offseason. You know, he always has the right thing to say. As Charles Barkley said, y'all tried to give it. Y'all tried to give the crown to Anthony Edwards, where Shea just went out and took it. Shea went out. You know, this is also a great lesson in for youth sports. If you look at the best players in each sport, either all-time or right now, Anthony Edwards should be better than Shea. Athletically, there's not even a debate. Yeah. Shea pulls up mid-range. He drives for layups. You never see any highlight reel dunks.
Kind of old man style.
Anthony Edwards is kind of the new school Vince Carter that's out here. You just alluded to Jokic, the best player in the sport. He's tall, but he's lumbering. He relies on skill and intellect, and we tried to give it to Anthony Edwards. You never have SGA face of the league conversations. It's always about Ant's personality, and SGA just goes out and wins the MVP.
And I think it's because, as much as people like him, I don't know of anybody who really hates SGA. Like, everybody likes it. There's a little bit of bitterness building up about the free throw stuff, just like it did with Dwayne Wade at one point. But I just, like, I think the fans have told you basically, like, no, that's not the guy. Like, they've just, as good as he is, it doesn't seem like anybody wants SGA to be, like, the face of the league.
Yeah.
Like Sean said, it's like more of a boring style. It's, you know, you're not going to have a face of a league. What's his, I think this is, and one thing, we love Dirk, but Dirk was never, even if he was the best player in the league at one point, if he was, he wasn't, he was never going to be the face of the league because his statue is a fadeaway jumper.
Yep. What's SGA's signature? Like, what's his logo?
The elbow jumper? Like, what are you going to do? I don't know. Free throw?
Did he have the dribble at the free throw line while he's getting ready? Like, that's probably his. Look, he's a really good player. He is so good.
Awesome.
We are going to look back one day probably and go, like, Paul George? You traded Paul George for that? Okay. All right. That doesn't seem like a fair return, but the dude is just, I don't have a negative thing to say about him other than just nationally people have rejected him as, like, that's the guy that you gravitate towards.
The West Finals are over. In the NBA, the East Finals are over on the ice.
The final seconds tick away, and the Florida Panthers are going to the Stanley Cup Final for the third year in a row. The Panthers win Game 5, 5-3. They finish off the Canes in five games. The Panthers are Eastern Conference champions in 2025.
That's the call, of course, on Florida Radio as they take care of the Canes 5-3, where they average five goals a game in this series.
Is that good?
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. They advanced the third straight, and that is tremendous. This has been,
I think, ninth team ever to make it to back-to-back-to-back finals.
Yeah, ninth ever. They're phenomenal. They're built for this. They're built for the postseason. They're a physical team. They know exactly how to win. And you know, before this run started, before they went to those three straight, like a year prior, they won the President's Trophy, which was the best record in the league. Or most points in the league. And they got knocked out like in the second round. So like they've been around. Like they've been a really good team. Their run in a similar way to the Stars is really well put together. And here they are, man. And they're gonna I would put them as the favorite over either Edmonton or the Stars right now, in the finals, but it's gonna be a good series if it's either one.
You mentioned there, you said they're built for it. And I've always known, you know, whenever we talk about a team that's built for the postseason in the NFL or the NBA or whatever else, I clearly not following hockey as closely. Like, what is it about Florida that why aren't they this team, or why aren't they, like, you know, the super dominant team during the year? I know they're one of the better teams, but why are they not? What changes in the postseason that makes them more adaptable to that?
They're physical for one, but in their goalie, like Bobrovsky, just comes to play in the postseason too. But they're so physical. They've got like kids of, you know, Kachuk, you know, he's grew up in a hockey family. They've kind of, you know, built around him. And They've got a really good set of players that, that can play physical, but they can also score on you.
So that's everything you need to know from last night in the sports world as we start the Thursday edition of Sean and RJ. The payload is coming up live at 6:40. We got a little baby ticket giveaway at the 720 Expressway when we go commercial free. But we have Around the NFL with Bobby heading out to Cowboys practice today. Terry Bradshaw is sick of Aaron Rodgers. And what is the Barbie powder? The Flamingo Flutter. We need our narcotics insiders on the Fantex. Around the NFL is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dallas Cowboy OTAs back at it again today at the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco. We are your official home of the Cowboys. In case you didn't know, good morning, Metroplex. Shout out to the 6 a.m. Club with Sean RJ and our Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. And RJ Choppy is here to defend Micah Parsons because of the absences of TJ Watt and Myles Garrett.
Yep, I don't want to hear it. I don't hear anyone say a word about Micah Parsons not being a leader because he's not at off-season workouts participating, not at camp, not at anything, because your golden boy, the NFL's Rudy, TJ Watt, the try-hard of all try-hards, is skipping OTAs because he doesn't have a contract. No one's going to call his leadership out. He's just he's the golden boy, man. He's the try-hard guy. No one's going to have a first take segment. Is he a real leader because he's not at OTAs? No, they're not. And I don't want to get into why. I don't know why. But if he's Mr. Try-Hard and he does everything right, then he should get the same intensity of criticism than Micah is going to get. Because Micah's not the golden boy of the NFL. TJ Watt is. Where's TJ? So, and look, I support these guys doing this. I would not be there either if I was Mike, if I was TJ. If I was, you know, Miles is different. Miles got a contract. And Miles isn't even there. He's in Japan house hunting. Yeah. All right, he's house hunting in Japan.
They got a new league over there. Is he getting ready for the Olympics? He wants to play for Team Japan?
Yeah, so there's a, I guess his lady is Chloe Kim.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was doing something over there. She was emceeing something, and they were over there, and he was like, oh, I'm going to go start house hunting. So I guess they want a house hunt. But anyway, I mean, again, I support this, but this Micah is going to get the heat, and he should not. And if you're going to give Micah the heat, you got to give it to Mr. Tryhard.
What's the difference, Bob?
There's a couple differences. One, those two are not nearly as vocal as Micah is about I'm the leader. That's number one. Two, the bigger thing, and this was the issue we were talking about last year when Zimmer got here. Those two are not getting new defenses. Those two have their same defensive coordinators that have been there for a couple of years. Micah needs to be getting... George Pickens is here getting a ton of time on task because it's like, I got to get caught up to speed. Micah needs to be here catching up on that sort of stuff. Or I shouldn't say needs to be here. He should do whatever he needs to do to leverage his contract situation. Negotiation power, he needs to take advantage of it. Football players put themselves at a ton of risk. I don't blame them for doing any of that. But I'm saying the reason the heat is not the same to me is because they're two wildly different scenarios as to what creates the criticism for Micah and how that doesn't apply to TJ Watt and Myles Garrett.
And is Micah supposed to be there today?
Micah is, I mean, it's a question we're going to ask every time we're out there, but my anticipation is that it's going to be what it was last week, the entire OTAs. He'll pop in. He'll be around a little bit. I don't think we're going to see him on the field at all.
What is the Barbie powder? What is the Flamingo Flutter? What is pink cocaine? Because we have another wide receiver on a boat. This is Stephon Diggs. Yes, Trayvon's brother, the newest New England Patriot. This I watched this video 13 times. It was amazing.
Yeah.
So as far as I know, and I believe she was on the boat, Stephon Diggs is with Cardi B.
Yeah.
But on this boat, maybe Cardi is cool with opening up the possibilities of the relationship. Daddy. There's three women. What's that?
They called him Daddy.
Yes, they did.
Daddy.
There's three women surrounding.
There it is. It's right on the fan cam.
Good job, Aiden. There's three women surrounding Diggs, and he starts going, and don't use this against me, Peyton. What's my name? Say what my name is. Bobby, shut up. I don't need your.
Cheyenne.
You don't need to be giving him extra permission. And they're all screaming, what back at him?
Daddy.
Yeah, they're giving him the daddy in return. And he's like, you don't think I can pull this out? You don't think I can pull this off out here on a boat in the middle of nowhere? And then out of his pocket or out of the shorts comes what? What is that? I thought it was some Jolly Ranchers.
It's not Jolly Ranchers.
A little of the ganja.
I thought it was some Mambas, some Now Laters.
No.
Because it was like really bright blue and then something pink.
Something pink.
It wasn't cocaine. A bag of it. It was like a gelatinous form of something.
Oh, baby.
A what?
Like a gelatin form.
Oh. Yeah, it's
like some fruit roll-ups.
It's not fruit roll-ups. I don't think it's crushed up. What are those candies? Smarties?
Yeah, I'm trying to.
No, it's the pink cocaine. It's not Pop Rocks.
Then he goes, y'all take this, go have a good time, and come back and see me later.
So it's ketamine. It's like and it was mixed with stuff. It's ketamine and other stuff. It's called pink cocaine. It's not actually even cocaine.
Tussie. I saw someone say it's Tussie.
Yeah, it's like ketamine, which is like it's an anesthetic, but it's like originally used for like horses or something like that. And now they use it on people, huh?
It's a tranquilizer.
Yeah, it's horse tranquilizer. But I guess now it's recreational and it just makes you hallucinate like crazy. And they probably, a lot of times that people say they mix it. I don't know. I'm not on Signal.
We need to get on Signal to be able to have a group message that consistently gets all the messages.
Yes. No, we should get on Signal. Let's do it.
Pete Hegseth.
Yeah. people say that sometimes they'll mix it with like, MDMA.
Molly.
It's
not a good look.
No.
It is not a good look whatsoever. And Mike Vrabel was asked about this for the first six questions of his Patriots presser.
Well, it's something that we're aware of. And obviously, we want to make great decisions on and off the field. And we're hoping that with our time here on the field today, and that when we don't have a script and we're on the call-up periods, that we're making great decisions. And so the message will be the same for all our players, that we're trying to make great decisions, and any conversations that I've had with Stefan will remain between him and I and the club.
This takes me back.
Good decisions.
I hearken back to the all-time great video that Peyton just found and pulled up. I take you inside the Minnesota Vikings locker room, and the web team did a little Q&A to all the players. Who is the man in here you at least want to date your sister?
What guy on this team would you least like to date your sister?
What the hell?
Diggs.
Why Diggs?
Man, no. We're going to leave it like that. No. What guy on this team would you least like to date your sister?
Oh, Stephon Diggs.
Why Diggs?
He's crazy. He's just outrageous. Don't know what he's going to say. Just don't know what to expect every day, so... He couldn't date my sister.
What guy on his team would you least like to date your sister?
Least like to date my sister? Diggs. 100%. Why Diggs? Because he's not a guy that you want to bring home to your parents. Like, you don't want your sister to bring him home to your parents, so therefore she can't date him.
Man, they all got as creative as they could of just saying, like, trying to say Diggs without telling stories as to why they wouldn't. Just to be like, yeah, you know, he says some crazy stuff sometimes. Locker, really, is that it? Or have you seen him do, like, the boat thing a few times?
So the Tussie's out and about, apparently. Yeah.
It's like the Mike.
Imagine hard-ass Mike Vrabel sitting down and getting this education like I am right now from whoever in the New England front office knows what this is, and they're explaining this to him.
I just imagine like some like intern having to pull up ChatGPT and like, well, let's look it up. Let's show it to you here. I have more respect for Sean McDermott. That it's like the Mike Tomlin AB thing. The fact that like we didn't see as much of this these Stephon Diggs issues until the very end of Buffalo, then into Houston, into now. I mean, I know he's considered kind of a diva, but I don't think anybody thought like that dude's like an issue crazy until the last couple of years.
Thank God that he has not been in cities like Miami or New York He's been in Minnesota and Buffalo, where the Tucci probably not as available.
It might not be. You're not. I mean, look, I know Minnesota's got a lot of lakes.
Yeah.
Okay, but you're not in Miami on the boat.
Imagine
like you said,
Diggs on the Dolphins, dude. Imagine him running around South Beach.
No.
This is something where like. And I kind of wonder a little bit now that you point that out. Minnesota,
you
ask Buffalo.
Trayvon about it today.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be right up front answering questions about it. It does make me wonder a little bit if him ending up in Minnesota and Buffalo was intentional. Like if there were some teams that were just like, no, this is not the environment for him. He shouldn't come here.
All right, we continue to go around the NFL with practices underway this week. Terry Bradshaw is sick of the Steelers saga waiting on you know who.
That is just to me is a joke. What are you going to bring him in for 1 year? Are you kidding me? I mean,
that's not the Steelers' way, right?
No, man, that guy needs to stay in California and go,
thank
go somewhere
you.
and chew on bark and. And whisper to the gods out there.
100%. These guys on the show, Mr. Bradshaw, know I'm not a fan of his. We've been around each other personally, and he was not a kind person.
He does not. I had to go over and introduce myself to him. He's not. I had to go, hey, Aaron, I'm Terry Bradshaw. I know he knows me, but I just felt like I better tell him who I am.
Yeah.
And not, you know, you walk in there and you get in his presence and you feel like it's going to start snowing.
103.7 The Buzz. What does that mean it's going to start snowing?
103.7 The Buzz or 103.7 The Bathroom? Where the hell were they doing that interview?
What does it mean I feel like it's going to start snowing?
Is that a Coke reference?
I don't know. I figured it was something like that, that seems way too synthetic potentially or cut with something wrong for Aaron Rodgers, I would feel like.
It's going to start snowing.
Not natural enough?
Every time I hear Bradshaw talk, every single time I think of Hollywood Henderson and what he said. And he was ahead of his time on it. He said before the 78 Super Bowl, people were talking about, like, what do you think about Terry Bradshaw? And he goes, Bradshaw's so dumb he couldn't spell cat if you spotted him the C and the A.
Well, there was nothing dumb in that.
No, but every time I just hear him, like, talking about anything, I'm just like, there's no rationale behind what you're saying.
Bobby was very interested. If you listen Friday with the Firehouse Tour in Mansfield, one of our all-time, maybe the best turnout ever, you were very interested in how Caleb Williams was going to respond.
I was, and I didn't. I thought he was going to be, I thought we were going to have a poor reaction here. I thought, all right, we're going to get him saying, it's my dad's fault. I was quoted out of context, or I just flat out never said some of these things.
Real quick, the fan text saying it means the snowing says he's a cold person. It means he's a cold person.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Right. But Caleb Williams stood up there yesterday, talked to Chicago media, and to his credit, so here's the thing. It's OTAs. He does not have to speak. He's not required by the NFL to speak. He wanted to. So he apparently kind of impromptu walked up, talked to some reporters yesterday, and said to them, said, look, everybody knows Chicago was not a great spot for quarterbacks for several years. That was a concern for me. But he said, as soon as he got to the city of Chicago, as soon as he visited here, he said, I wanted to come here. I wanted to be the guy and be part of the reason why the Chicago Bears turned things around. That last thing that was said in all of that, I think, is the most important thing, is that I wanted to be here. I love being here. And he even talked about his dad a little bit. He said, actually, I shut my dad down quite a bit. He has ideas and he's a smart man. And so I listen. I always listen. Very fortunate to be in this position in the sense of playing quarterback, but also very fortunate to have a very strong-minded father. But he said, I do recognize I've got to cut him off at some points. And I take it in, but I don't just take it blindly. And this is perfect. This is the response he should have given.
Good for him. I had confidence that he would handle it correctly. The story to me was overblown. Like, yeah, you want to just sit there and have him lie to us? It's a thing there with the Bears. I love what Ben Johnson had to say about what he is coaching Caleb Williams up on. And I don't know whether it's possible, but he said, I want Caleb Williams to clean up his body language. Albert Breer reported this. Working with him on body language when things don't, he's got a mopey disposition and body language when things don't go his way. And Ben Johnson said, I want to avoid a woe is me message, and our body language needs to reflect it. We sat down and watched some tape from a year ago and we talked through it. Do we really want to do this? Is this what we want to look like or not? We came to an agreement. No, it's not. Okay, we learn from it. Move on to the next thing. Demeanor. We don't want to be a palms up team where we're questioning everything. To me, that's a little bit of a sign of weakness We don't want to exhibit that from anyone on the team. I love that.
Yeah, body language is massively important, specifically at the quarterback position. Like it, you'll hear players talk about it. They're like, when the quarterback's body language is off, it permeates.
Caleb has had the body language. Like, when something doesn't go right, my teammates suck. Like, it's me out here by myself. That's what I've gotten from watching him, more so in college.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to act like everything's fine, even when it's not. You have to act like you have all the answers.
Dak.
You can't act like you don't know. You have to act like everything is fine. Like, everything is going according to plan.
It's dad. When stuff's going sideways in the family, dad can't look rattled. Dad's got to look, I'm in control. We're good here. It's the same sort of thing.
Apparently, they don't want to get busy on Tinder anymore. And are you ready to physically fight? Who could you take and who would you lose to amongst your friends on your social media? It's Thursday. It's the payload. It's next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, am I hearing this right? The morning show is letting Peyton Russell have his own segment?
I just don't get it. We've known Peyton for years. He's horrible on the mic. I mean, gathering the foreigners, this is going to be a train wreck.
Daddy does work, and Peyton just does board hopping.
That is right. It is Thursday, 6:40. It is the payload here. Every Thursday at this time. And gentlemen, I ask you one simple question. Have you ever wanted to fight one of your Instagram followers or social media followers? We can go Twitter, Snapchat, Facebook, any of that.
Oh, Twitter.
Oh, Twitter for sure. I think you see more on Twitter there. And you're even some guy's hot take, you're like, all right, this guy's got
to
go.
Well, there are less pictures. It's harder for me to track you. It's harder for me to find out who you are on Twitter. And then it would go Facebook, and then it would go Instagram. Instagram, I feel like, is your tightest knit group. At least it is for me. And then Facebook, but by far, Twitter.
Facebook, I feel, is like the most... Nah, I think Facebook, because I know most of them from high school on Facebook. You know, like, that's... You know what I mean? So, like...
How many of your high school friends amongst your 5,000 make up your... What, 13?
The ones I know. Like, they're the ones that count, probably, you know, they count the most. It just seems like people I know... I don't know. It feels like Instagram, I know less. I know fewer of them, I guess I should say. But Twitter's the most toxic.
Yeah. We have one loser that just won't go away. I'm not even going to give him his high, his keyboard high of just reappearing whenever
he comes out of Twitter jail every 6 weeks.
Yeah, and then he's just an absolute loser.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never wanted to fight anybody because, like, typically I've put it in the context of it's a trolley space, and so I thrive in it, and I usually make them want to fight me. So, like, anything they got to go, like, oh my gosh, thank you so much, baby. Like, things like that. And they get really irritated.
Yeah, Bobby finds out, you know, who their ex-girlfriend was, you know, 25 years ago, and we'll send a picture of them just randomly. Somehow we'll find that information.
I'd like to thank Trayvon Diggs, because that is now my go-to response when someone acts stupid. I just write back, you weird, man. Because Trayvon hit me with that, and he rocked my world.
Yeah, there's no coming back from
rocked
that.
Me world, no, like the, no the, coming the, back. The purple flutter or whatever it's called.
Well, if you ever want to fight one of your IG followers, there's a man in Australia doing just that, where he picks a random follower each day. It's kind of a challenge of his that he's made up. He meets up with them and then proceeds to fight them. They box it out. They both have gloves on. I assume they have to be somewhere close, right? You can't fly to every single one of your followers. You got to find someone within the proximity of where you live. But he's been doing this each day, and he's going to stop once one of his followers can knock him out. And he records all this. It's on his Instagram.
Is he like an amateur fighter or something?
No, he's just he's one of those, I guess, influencers, millions of followers. So he's just like, you know what? I'll do this challenge. It's just to get more clicks and more views, and I guess that's how he makes his money. But, you know, I went through some of your IG followers, Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Mm. And so we're going to see. I picked some out for you to fight, and let's see if you can win or lose this. RJ, I know you're not the fighter, but I think your contestants, you'd give them a good run for the money. But Bobby had the most interesting followers here that I found. Now, this is not just someone you follow. They have to be following you as well.
Okay.
So, Bobby, I found Max Crosby of the Raiders follows you.
Yep. He's my boy. Yeah, I would not fight him.
He's your boy.
He'd kick my ass. Yeah. Max Crosby would kick my ass. So, no, I would not want to fight him.
And then I also found Marcus Davenport.
Marcus Davenport. Yeah.
Of the Lions.
Yep. So Marcus, Marcus would kick my ass too. Although I would feel better about my odds against Marcus than I would Max Crosby.
But you don't think even, okay, let's say you have all the, you know, whatever pills you take. You take all the pills that you
whatever
got, you know.
Pills you take.
You don't think you could go to round seven with one of those guys?
No, not at all. Like, I mean, like you're talking to about like really long, like edge rushers with reach. No, I would.
Let me take my focus pill to take on this NFL D-lineman.
I think the answer
is ketamine. He doesn't take ketamine that we know of.
I think the answer is no, we can't. If it's professional athletes.
It could be like a jockey.
It could be a jockey, okay. So we're talking like horse racing.
Little small point guard or
chicken
something.
Chicken jockey. Yeah, could be that. No, I'm trying to think, like, who's
Brandon Aubrey? Does Brandon Aubrey follow me? I don't know.
I think Brandon Aubrey would still, like, once we got to look at him, he's got some size when we saw him at Super Bowl. Like, I still think he could probably beat me up.
Kick you in the nuts.
Uh-huh.
Imagine that force.
Oh, my God.
Ooh. Punch you right in the nuts.
So next up, Sean, I found one for you. Mike Fisher, I thought would be a good fight. If you and Mike box it out. I think you have a lot of inside feud going on there.
I got to tell you, man, Fish is on the, Fish has been working out like something fierce.
Yeah, but
Fish is impressive in the gym now.
All I got to do is yell really loudly near Mike's hearing aid, and it'll cause him to go down like Frazier. So, yeah, I'd... Mike is looking good. Mike will tell you he's looking good. And podcast, he's looking good. But, yeah, I'd feel okay against Mike. I'd just go right at that ear. I'd be like Tyson Holyfield.
I feel like this would be a fun fight. And it's right in this very station right now. Jake Rietma. I feel like that would be a great fight. Could you imagine Jake? He'd be throwing left hooks, right hooks, and going, Dallas Stars for the kids. You know, he'd be throwing haymakers.
Jake, I think, is the definition of the term scrapper. He will also tell you. That he was an amateur football player or some type of D-something football player.
D2, right? D2 or 3?
Pond hockey. D2. But I think he'd also tell you that the DFW food scene has gotten to him a little bit. So I don't know if the cardio would keep up the same. But no, I probably would not want to fight Rietma because he's still younger than I am.
Well, he's from Detroit. He's got to be able to fight, right? I mean, maybe that's why they kicked him out of there was because he couldn't fight.
Yeah, he just sprayed me with that water.
Oh, no.
His secret weapon is a water bottle, and then he maces my eyes out with that Michigan water.
Let's not give him Detroit. He looks more like a Hillsdale guy.
He's Idaho guy.
Hillsdale.
And we'll finish up with RJ. RJ, your follower that I found it would be the most interesting fight. Byron Anderson.
No.
I would say
you guys, yeah, you guys could go.
Who is Byron Anderson?
Byron does the Tarleton State games. He was a college baseball player. He was my teammate in an old man baseball. I wouldn't want to mess with Byron. Byron's...
What's he going to strangle you out with a mic cord?
Byron's a big guy, man. Like, he has the perfect... He has my goal physique. All right?
Byron.
Really looks like he works out all the time. Also looks like he never says no to pizza.
And Byron's
what do they call barrel? Was it a barrel chest?
Oh, he's a barrel. Yeah, he's more barrel chested than I am, and I've got no neck.
Byron's also like, I think... classic country boy that's like, you don't want to fight country boy fighter.
Stephenville.
No, Byron would beat up Chop.
Yeah. This is great homework by you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I went through, it was tough to find a bunch of people because you had to like search letters and names and it was like, I can't just go through all, 12,000 of y'all's followers. By the way, Sean has the most followers out of all of us, so good job to him.
And he started latest on Instagram. Look at that.
That's right. All right, it is the payload every Thursday at this
time.
Hear
that, advertisers?
The cheese roll. Are you guys familiar with the cheese roll that takes place in England? Have you seen video footage of this?
I'm familiar with this video.
Yep.
Man, Aiden has it up on the fan cam. He'll be throwing through some highlight clips there. But, yeah, this takes place in England. It's the Cooper's Hill cheese rolling in Wake, and it's been taking place since the early 1800s. Amazing. Participants run down this 200-yard hill chasing after a wheel of Gloucester cheese. Have you ever had Gloucester cheese? No. I didn't know that was a thing until I did my research on this. But there's guys, I mean, look at the footage there. People are just flying to their death, basically. Dude. And people, people get hurt, seriously injured every single year in this. I mean, it feels like you got to have, just paramedics at the bottom of this hill waiting for them. Insane.
You can't not watch this.
No.
This is amazing television. I think ESPN puts it up on there, and you have to look. Does anyone make it straight down? Probably they do. I think this is kind of a
tortoise in the hare strategy.
Right. Wait till the everybody falls.
Just go
first.
Half pace.
Yeah. Go half pace. Let everybody else fall down down the mountain.
Yeah.
Let them break all their legs, and then you wind up picking up the cheese.
Can public officials like not stop this? You know, you'd think. They're not doing anything illegal.
It sounds
I'd watch this over Running of the Bulls like 100 out of 100 times.
This guy right here, Scottish. This first guy who, that's the one that's gone viral, the guy who just like forward tumbled. Like that guy looks like he had to have died.
Like surely he won, right?
How far did he fly through the air right there? I mean,
yeah, that second tumble looked like he went a good like 20 feet or something.
Why are we not copying this? I guess we have no hills here.
No.
In the Metroplex, but we got to find some hills that Jerry Rice would run up or Derrick Henry is now running up and do the same thing. We should make this a fan event.
Let's do that.
Find a hilly thing.
There you go, Spittle.
Right there. What giveaway roles that we have.
Reba would absolutely do this.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be first on.
So some of the history about this cheese roll challenge thing. This wheel of cheese is about 8 pounds. It has people nearly losing their lives over it. And the winner, it's simple. You make it down to the bottom, you get the wheel of cheese. 8 pounds of cheese right to your fridge or wherever you keep.
Give me the cheese again, Pepe.
Gloucester.
It's Gloucester.
All right. I was like, is this some type of like $1,000 cheese? Right. It has to be something like of tremendous value that is like aged in a cave somewhere. 16th century. I got to find the price on this thing.
And people from all over the world participate. This isn't just a UK thing. People fly from all over the country, all over the world to be in this race. Year after year, people get seriously injured in this race, but you'd be surprised with the amount of repeated winners, as I've done some research here. There are up to 5 downhill races per event, and a guy named Chris Anderson has won 23 times over the course of 17 years. 23 times this guy has participated in this, because it's like you can win multiple times. There's multiple races every year, so you know he's obviously won a couple here and there, but 23 times over the course of 17 years. Stephen Guide won 21 times from 76 to 1991, and Stephen Bryan won 18 times over the course of about 16 years from 84 to 2000.
This is a 5-pound cheese wheel. This Gloucester cheese is $20.
Yeah, I'm seeing like 50 is the highest.
What are we doing here? Like
blue cheese, I'm in. I'm ready to go.
So you have incur a $10,000 medical bill for a $20 wheel of cheese. By the time you recover, it's ready for next year. I guess the next year you got rods all up your body, screws and nuts and rods, and nothing's going to break.
Yeah, I feel like in America, you got to throw some dollars, something out there, you know, put some Benjamins inside the cheese or whatever. But I don't know if I'm trying this. Not even if I have a few alcoholic beverages in me. But all right, last story here, guys. Tinder. RJ, your nephew, Tindy Hands, is he still in action there?
I thought you were going to me on Tinder. Yes. I don't know if he's still on there or not. I think he is. I don't know.
Well, the CEO of Tinder is having to change his app because Gen Zers are being difficult, as they usually are, and don't want to have the sex anymore. They're tired of Tinder being a hookup app, as they called it. Tinder has already been testing out the other features, the double date feature in the United Kingdom, and it's been a success so far. So we'll see how long it takes for them to migrate over here to the U.S. in that vicinity. But Gen Z continues to ruin fun things and wants the world to resolve around them. Look, I mean, it's just the game you play when you got a dating app like this. You know, some guys are creeps. Some guys only want one thing. Some girls only want one thing. You know, it depends on how desperate you are. But, you got to deal with it. If you're on the dating app, you're going to get creeps that only want to hook up, and you're going to get people that only want love. So there you go.
How did you use the app, Peyton?
Just to find my fiance. Oh,
okay.
So did you find her on Tinder?
Bumble. Bumble was where.
Yeah. So they don't want, like, sex at the end. So what do they want the app
because,
for?
Because, like, whenever I was, like, in college, like, you know, you use, like, Tinder to, like, okay, like, you just want to hook up with it, right? You're not trying to find a girlfriend or, you know, vice versa boyfriend there. You just want the one-night stand, basically, because it's an easy way to communicate with someone, you know, on there. You see their pictures, everything. It's an easy way to message a girl or boy. Mainly that's what they want is to hook up. And so Gen Z is basically saying, no, I want to find my true love on this app because they actually want to make it a dating app, not a hookup app.
Did you see Conor McGregor rumored? I think he said he was trying to buy OnlyFans or get in on it.
Oh, wow.
Guess the evaluation.
The valuation, how much OnlyFans would sell for?
Yep.
Oh, I mean, I wouldn't even. A billion?
Billions, yeah.
You want to narrow it down a little bit?
2 billion?
8.
8 billion.
Jeez.
8 billion. Wow. Every other day, there's someone sleeping with 365 dudes on there. Like, imagine
crazy.
What type of like these people make millions like every 2 months.
You have girls that are just posted on TikTok, and now they could be just full of you know what, But they're like, you know, I may not be like a 10, I may be a 6,
yeah.
but 5,000 guys pay me $10 a month.
Oh, my God.
And it's just like...
The what? Celtics were sold for $6 billion. That's the most a sports franchise has ever been sold for.
Can the Dallas Stars take advantage of a major injury tonight? Bobby will be in the building. So will Rima. We get you ready for Game 5 and a little baby ticket giveaway next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.